Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Luke chapter 4. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." This is the text. If is a powerful word. If can be the focal point of a contract or agreement. If you provide certain materials or services, I will pay you X amount of money. God said to the Israelites, "If you keep my commandments and worship no other gods, I will bless you and give you long life in the land of Israel. If you do not keep my commandments and go chasing after other gods, I will send famine, war, and enemies will tear you out of that land." It's a brief summary of God's Deuteronomic promises. If is a powerful word. If can also be a dangerous word. The devil loves to use if. Look at the three temptations or testings of Jesus. Satan uses if in all three. If you are the Son of God. Right there he calls into question what God the Father had just said there on the banks of the Jordan River. You have to remember, Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, it took place immediately after his baptism. Jesus is baptized. God the Father speaks from heaven and says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descends upon him, and he is led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit for 40 days. And the devil comes along and says, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Last week, Jonathan Fisk, as he spoke here for the Quincy Bible Institute, he focused in on the current spirituality of especially what he called, you know, his generation, 30 and younger. He's like 31, maybe 32 years old at the most. But as you look at especially the I call them the youth now that I'm in my 40s. People who are, 30 and younger, the vast majority in our society of all, creeds and confessions are described, and the term is moralistic therapeutic deism. And you can watch the entire presentation on the church's website. It's very interesting, and also, it's in his book, too. But in the first temptation here, we already hear the deism part. Oh, sure, recognizing God as a reality, but calling into question the whole dynamic between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you are the Son of God. Recognizing them as equals, yet separate, yet one, as the Trinity is presented in Scripture. Deism likes a God who is vague and impersonal. And Satan wants to muddy the waters as to who Jesus truly is. And he does so with his cleverly placed if. We also see the therapeutic part here in our gospel reading. He tempts Jesus with what much of our culture expects of Jesus. That is, "I'm not feeling so well. Make me feel better. The presence of God is desired." Yeah, when we need him, and by the power of God, you can feel better. After all, this is what God wants for you. We are told across the airwaves of religiosity today. And our sinful nature loves this. Because I want to feel good, and the more immediate the gratification, the better. And so this moralistic, therapeutic deism, it's very appealing. And you hear it. Well, yes, I will believe in a God, but, you know, really? How highly concerned do we have to be of the ins and outs of all of the points of doctrine? And I'll be happy with a God, and I will lead a moral life. Of course, as I define morality, because, you know, don't you place your rules on me. And I will be happy with this God as long as he keeps my belly full and makes me feel good. And when you boil down religiosity today, Satan's temptations have been at work, and they have been working. And as you look at the vast majority of especially the young people of our culture, how they view God, they're very comfortable with this sort of presentation of God, who is vague and impersonal. And even though we call him Jesus, we kind of define him the way we want to. That's the way the world has been tempted to go. And you can see it in how Satan tempts Jesus. The pattern is there. The playbook is laid out. As Satan tests the real Jesus in the wilderness, this is the same sort of testing of your resolve that Satan still uses today. He only has one trick. And he's very good at it. And he's had lots of practice. And you need to know how to answer him. Jesus answers him with the word of God from the book of Deuteronomy. When Satan tests the resolve of your faith with the ifs of life, what do you use to answer him? It's important to be in the Word. It is important to actually know what Scripture says, because this is where God speaks to us, and this is where we get the necessary ammunition to fight back against Satan and his lies. Just like with Jesus, if Satan doesn't destroy you with the first temptation, you know he will be back. And he is seeking to destroy you. That's what this is about. This is not a game. There are eternal consequences at stake. So he tells Jesus, "Oh, if you worship me, I'll give you all the authority and the glory of all the kingdoms of the world." Isn't it funny that even though he says it is, that it is not his authority to give that out? But he promises it anyway. Satan whispers in your ears the same empty promises of if. How many times have you said to yourself, you know, if I just had this, then I would be content. Then I would be happy. And when you hear that hopeful if as the source of your peace and contentment, know that this is Satan whispering in your ear. And learn from experience that when you acquire that if, it doesn't bring the contentment you expected. I was watching a show the other day, and there was a lady who said, you know, when I'm feeling bad, I go out and buy myself a new cute outfit. Makes me feel good. And someone asked, well, what do you do when that feeling wears off and you realize you still have all the same problems and issues? She says, well, that's when I go buy some shoes. There is only one source of peace and contentment that is real. It is in the forgiveness of sins, in the broken body and shed blood of the Son of God. The Son of God who was announced by God the Father on the banks of the Jordan River and on the Mount of Transfiguration and throughout Scripture. That is the only place where you will find any peace or rest in this sinful, fallen world. And when John D. Rockefeller was the wealthiest man in the world, and by today's standards had 10 times as much money as Bill Gates, it was asked of him, well, how much money is enough? And he famously answered, just a little more. Now, the object of your desire, it may be material, but more often it's emotional. And the internet is full of promises. Oh, if you do this, you will, you know, you can look like this. And promoting pictures of unattainable self-image. If I thought that I wouldn't be happy unless I looked the way I did when I was 20, I would be miserable. Because it's not going to happen. The news feed on my Facebook account gets inundated, with all these proverbial sayings, longing for that perfect relationship. Well, there is no perfect relationships among sinful people in this fallen world. And all of Satan's empty promises, all the ifs, even if they were all in your possession, it still would not bring you the peace that God has brought through the sending of His Son. The covenant in Christ's blood is a promise that does not contain any ifs. This is not like the land contract that God made with Moses and the Israelites. If you keep my commandments, you will live long in the land. Christ died for you. No ifs. Christ poured out His blood to pay the ransom price for the guilt of your sin. And He did it out of love for you. No ifs. Christ washed you clean in the waters of baptism. There's no ifs. Christ gives you His broken body and shed blood for you to eat and drink. And this brings you forgiveness, life, and salvation. There are no ifs in the promises of God. And Christ rose from the dead, and so will you. There's no ifs. Your salvation is not your work. You are not saved only if you do enough. That's a lie from Satan. The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ has already accomplished all things. He proclaims from the cross, "It is finished." No ifs. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.